In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to this Communion Sunday as we worship together here at Providence Presbyterian Church. We're glad that you're all here on this lovely spring day and pray that you will meet God in the course of this worship service. Please take time to sign the welcome pads that you'll find at the inside aisle and pass them down the pew so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. We would like to welcome any who are visiting with us in our midst. Please share any information or changes of information that we need to know about in properly welcoming you and keeping in touch with you. You are all invited to a time of fellowship in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary following the worship service, and our college fellowship brunch will have its last brunch of the season downstairs this week, right after the worship service, and all college students are invited to join in that time of fellowship. Jenny Surgner from our outreach committee, I believe, Jenny, will have Mother's Day cards to help support healthy mothers, healthy families, which is a mission project supporting health ministries and education in Africa. For a suggested donation of $10 per card, we invite you to celebrate your mothers in that way and in picking up one of those cards from her during the coffee hour time. The newsletters, if you did not receive it by email, are available. The print copies of them are available in the back of the in the Hope Room on a table right behind those doors. So please pick up your newsletter if it's mailed to you. If you would like to have it emailed to you, please let us know that on the sheet that's there, or if you'd like to reverse that, let us know that as well. We are in need of some PowerPoint helpers as we move through our rotation and adapt to the reality of Brian Shim no longer being here. And particularly, we need someone to fill in next week. So if you can help with that, either see me or see Jonik, who's the new coordinator of PowerPoint Help, and we will be happy to have you join the team either temporarily or permanently. Other announcements this morning. I think Gina has a word on the survey.
I'm going to be forever known as a survey lady. I just wanted to give a quick update. We are up to 84 surveys, which is wonderful. And for any of you who still have not completed the survey, there's still time. We are going to keep the survey open until next Sunday. It will close on May 12th at midnight, so 5:12 at 12. So you have up until then to complete your survey. So please fill them out if you haven't done so. If you are having any difficulties filling out the survey, please see me. I can help you help answer any questions you have about that.
So next Saturday at the cathedral, my and Steve's big choir is singing Beethoven's Mass in C. I just have to say it's a wonderful piece. I was at a provost dinner last Wednesday. I was a little bit late to rehearsal, a little bit frustrated, and I got to rehearsal and I left just full of joy. So do come to the concert. I don't know, Steve, do you happen to have any tickets on you? Okay, so, or just let me know. We can get tickets to you one way or the other. So anyway, hope you'll be able to make it.
The psalmist writes, "Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Come, let us worship God."
Good morning. Join me in standing as we sing.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. Together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. It's rising up. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth His glory. The earth is filled with His glory.
The psalmist writes, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore He instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble His way." With hearts fully open to God in this time, let us confess our sin, first in silence, then praying together. Let us pray. Continuing in prayer. God of grace and goodness, what we claim as our own, You create and give to us. What we would use for ourselves alone, You entrust to us for the blessing of all. Where we perceive scarcity, You provide enough for all. Where we grasp and hoard, You invite us to share. Where we privilege some at the expense of others, you endow all with value, worth, and dignity. Where we divide and exclude, you invite and welcome all to the table. When we turn from your way, you love us still. When we fall short, you make possible new beginnings. God of grace and goodness, forgive us, renew us. Open us afresh to the leading of your Holy Spirit for the living of our days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together our song of confession, verse 1 of Make Me a Channel of Your Peace in the small hymnal number 2171. The promise is sure and worthy of our Lord that Christ came into the world to save sinners and to bring the promise of new and abundant life. Friends, this is good news for us. New every morning. Believe and live as if you do believe. In Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Thank you.
Now it's time to share our joy and concern together, and we'll be followed by a prayer from our co-pastor, Chris.
I have a big joy. It looks like tomorrow is the D-Day, so I need prayers from all the church, because you have been starting this with me, and you have to. And it's a big day tomorrow for me, so I need prayers, please. This lady, too, is a champion's family member. She just came from Ghana about 3 days ago to stay. And someday she will be a Presbyterian.
Welcome.
Today's mommy's birthday.
Ooh, happy birthday.
I just asked prayers for my grandmother, Anne Beck. She is dealing with some anemia, so she's been very tired. So just prayers that the doctors can help figure out how to treat the anemia. And prayers for my older sister. They had a second baby shower with some family yesterday, and she's due in about a month. But this is her first baby, and she's very nervous. So just prayers and peace of mind for her and her husband.
Good morning. I just want prayers for Giovanni, the young Italian scholar that had visited. He is finishing up his coursework, and he's very stressed and therefore could not come today. And I assured him in a text just recently that we would pray for him, that everything would go well.
I would like continued prayers for my brother-in-law, John, who is on the heart transplant list.
I'd like continued prayers for my brother Jim in Pennsylvania. He's making progress slowly but surely. Thank you.
There was an article in the Providence Journal on Friday or Saturday that the suicide rate is increasing among white Americans somewhere between the ages of 35 and 60. And there was some speculation, probably partly based on facts that have been collected, that Hispanic and black groups have not seen this increase. Anyway, the speculation was that they have the support of their churches, and this is one of the reasons that the rate has not gone up for them. On our survey questions, I should have plugged this earlier. There's a question about what you want to see in your pastor. I think there were seven things that we had to rate, and pastoral care was one of those things. And if you've never had to receive pastoral care, you may not realize how much time goes into pastoral care. And being a recipient of the pastoral care, not only from the ministers, but also from my deacon, I can tell you how important that support is, and that we also minister to each other here. We don't just rely on the ministers, we don't just rely on our deacons, but we minister to each other. We give each other pastoral care, and that is indeed tremendously important. So I would like to thank the whole congregation and also the Wednesday morning prayer group and the people that pray on the prayer chain. We get an awful lot of support here.
So I have two prayers. One, just echoing what's sort of already been said, it's exam time for the college students, so to pray for all of them that things would go well and that life wouldn't be too stressful. And then also, I'm beginning something to try and involve Brown students and faculty more in teaching in the local prisons, and so just your prayers for that initiative.
So starting this Sunday, there's going to be a group of people from the PCUSA who's traveling to Egypt and I think Lebanon. I'm not completely sure exactly what they're doing, but they're sort of doing partnership building there. And my dad's going to be part of the team, so prayers for that whole... It's with the moderator of the General Assembly from this past summer, so prayers for the whole team as they travel and try to develop relationships there.
I want to thank the whole congregation for your prayer and to tell you actually God listened to our prayers and sometimes even better than what we think. As you all know the story about how I catch the birth of my second child, just on time, was no waste of time. So we thank the Lord for that. He always has better plan for more than what we think or imagine. The second thing is I am happy for how the interim process is coming together and the survey and everything. And this, after tomorrow will be our first meeting as a committee.
Tuesday.
Yeah, after tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Day after tomorrow.
Yeah. So a day after tomorrow, so Tuesday, May 7th, will be our first meeting as an interim committee. And we really need your help and your prayer. This is... very interesting time and very interesting process, but a lot of work and a lot of things is waiting for us to deal with. So we need you to remember that and pray for us. And I encourage the members of the committee to come with a lot of energy and enthusiasm to start this process. Okay, thanks.
Let us pray. For the beauty of this day, its promise of new life, we give you thanks, great God, for the ways in which you bring life to your people, hope in the midst of despair, deepening discipleship and faith that moves mountains. We give thanks this day, O God, for the joys of our lives, for the healthy arrival of Phoebe, for Stacy's strength and MedHat's in this time of distance from MedHat, and for their safe reunion in these weeks to come. We pray for all who are looking forward to new babies, for strength and calm in that process, for Jenny's sister, for Irene, for all those who are waiting. We give thanks, O Lord, for the remembrance and the reminder of the joy of birth and birthdays for Marianne today. We pray, Lord, this day, knowing that in our world there are places of deep pain, recovery from disaster or trauma where your support and encouragement is needed in and through your people. We give thanks for the ways in which you move us to support one another, to reach out and to pray for those who struggle to see the light in the darkness. We pray for all places in need of healing, health, and new directions, for progress to bring life to all your people. We pray for the Middle East, for this travel of Lydia's father to and the PCUSA delegation to Egypt and Lebanon. We pray for Syria in these days, for the bishops that have been kidnapped, and for those who seek to be a witness to light and healing and peace. We pray for wisdom in this time, for all the places that are wrestling with decisions and a future. We pray for the people of Bangladesh and the industries there. We pray, O Lord, for all those who are at key transition points in their lives. Guide them and hold them steady amidst the challenges they face. that you might bring healing and hope, we pray. We pray, O Lord, for you to be with Nick in his case tomorrow, to bring a good outcome. We pray for Melinda. We pray for all of our students, high school, college, elementary, middle school, the littlest ones in preschool, that they would know the joy of learning even in this pressured time of exams, that you would calm their hearts and guide them. We lift up Giovanni and our college fellowship, those studying for AP exams. Guide them in your ways, that they might learn and grow as you would have them grow. We give thanks, O God, for new people in our midst, for this new arriving woman from Ghana, and we pray that she would be welcomed warmly by all of us from the Achampunk family. We pray, O Lord, for your healing and for your strength for those who are facing health issues, for Jeff, for Mateo, for Anne, for John, for Jim. May your healing hand be upon them to strengthen them and guide them in these days. For the joys and promises of new life yet unknown to us as a community of faith, we give thanks for leaders who lead with vision and care, for leaders who have come forth to be part of this interim study process in the new chapters yet to be written of your work in our midst. We pray for that meeting on Tuesday and the meetings to come. We know, O Lord, that we may put our faith and trust in you and in these leaders as they seek to follow where you lead. We pray for new efforts and new opportunities for us to be in mission and for Matt's work in expanding the work in the prisons. As we gather again at this table this morning, we would live as you call us, as we look to the author and finisher of our faith, our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our children are excused to go down to their classes, ages 3 through 5th grade.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading today is from the Old Testament, Psalm 11, 1 to 7. And it's about a song of trust in God. Okay. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to me, flee like a bird to the mountains, for look, the wicked bend the bow. They fitted their arrow to the string, the shoot in the dark, at night, upright in the heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his gaze examines humankind. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and his soul hates the lover of violence. On the wicked he will rain coals of fire and sulfur. A scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. Second reading is from Isaiah 6, 1 to 8. It's a vision of God in the temple. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook as the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn is "How Clear Is Our Vocation, Lord," number 419.
Thank you.
I heard this a lot when I was in Egypt 2001. Everybody was complaining, my own people, the Christian people, complaining and saying, U.S. is not the same anymore. And this was after 9/11. And I don't know, because if somebody's living far away, I know they were maybe meaning about more restricted on security. Maybe it's not easy to get a visa. I don't know what they really meant by that. But I think maybe if I were living there, I would be concerned about the spirit of people. What happened to the spirit of people when they are hit by something unbelievable and something even behind our imagination and behind our, the most evil person cannot even think to do something like that. And a few weeks ago when we heard and watched or even some of our members were being in the marathons, it seems kind of refreshed our memories about that. And how even our basic need and our basic foundation of going outside, practicing our safety and our normally loving day, it's even threatened by the evil of this world. And as we heard a lot from politicians, from many peoples, but as a people of faith, how could we face such a time like that? And as we read from Solomon chapter 11, and I want you to remember when the psalmist say, if the foundation is shaken, where do we go? And actually in the ancient world, they believed the world was actually established on four pillars. So they're actually picturing the world as like a house stand on four pillars. And he was saying if one of these pillars bent or destroyed, it's very scary. When we are just living a lovely day and living under our house, eating, enjoying our life, taking care of our children, watching our garden, and suddenly something is shaken. And we start to question, are we safe anymore? Is there anything we can put our foot on and say, we will never be shaken again? I think the Bible is saying if we did that because we stand on a human being foundation, there is no way we can say that. Because there is always something that falls apart. It's not about giving up on a human being, but also being realistic about our capacity. And here we see the story about Isaiah coming to God's presence to understand he was facing the death of one, a close friend. And there is a lot of talking about why this was really very important for Isaiah to connect his new foundation of faith with an awful moment, a death of a king. Because there are many ways. Many people said Isaiah was really part of the monarchy, was part of the royal family. So he's physically was connected to this king. And other people said, no, he was a close friend to this king. So here is a prophet, can say whatever he wants to say, can scream at people, and he's not scared because the king is in his back. It's a good foundation. And he was actually a good king. He wasn't a bad king. When you read in Chronicles, there is a lot of good things about King Uzziah and about what he did. And in the end, something happened between him and the priest. And then they said he crossed the line. He was very successful, and he was trying to do everything. So he wasn't satisfied about just being a king. He wanted to be a priest. So he went to the temple and tried to practice things he cannot do as a king, as a secular person. And from that, we read from Chronicles, God punished him. And he came, and as we said, punished him with leprosy for disobeying the Lord and entering to the temple of the Lord and practice as a priest. It's a story of a successful man was killed by his bride. It's a story also of a prophet standing on a strong king. And the story today is about how we can start our mission. And when we start our mission, that's not it. If we read in chapter 6 about the Isaiah starting his mission, so what about everything he said before that? He took long 5 chapters before that. And now he's telling us he got the mission, he got the call. Because I think the call is not something static, it's something dynamic, something shaping us. Maybe he started and he felt the call of God in the beginning, but he was going maybe not in the perfect direction. And when you have time, please, when you go home, go and read the first chapters, the first 5 chapters. And see what's the difference between before the 6 chapters and after the 6 chapters. See the tone of the prophet. And see the pronouns he used when he named how people are awful and evil and all these bad things. And he never saw himself as part of this unsuccessful community. He was saying them. They didn't worship you right there. And he was pointing finger at them. And I think the most miraculous statement of this passage today is him saying, I am the one who has the unclean lips before he talks about his people. He didn't feel he's connected to his own people. He didn't feel he was part of them. Or maybe he didn't know that. He knew as a prophet, as a priest, as a preacher, as a deacon, at whatever privilege we carry, we put ourselves above others. And he has another thing we can maybe forgive him for. He has the monarchy in his blood. He connected to the royal family. So maybe it's not easy to be humble. It's not easy to relate to the normal people. But today, Isaiah is telling us about his connection with God. God who told him, come and see me. What happened to your king? Your king is done, is over, is dead. And a lot of commentaries saying maybe he wasn't really physically dead, but spiritually he was dead, the king. And maybe this was shocking for a man of God to see a story of a good king. He was really following God's rules and suddenly turned around and betrayed everything. And we know this man ruled Israel, ruled Judea for 52 years. And here is Isaiah starting his ministry, young spirit, hopeful. The king maybe is a role model for him to start and see. Maybe he couldn't even understand the dynamic between different group of people in the state of Israel at this time. Here is a priest. Here is people who will call him. He's not doing something good. And how it's easy for us to get confused with a lot of information coming from opposite ways. Which one is right? Which one is really holding the whole truth? Which one is really we need to support and stand behind? And Isaiah today is telling us about the true call. It's not the one we can go and scream and point a finger at people, but the call that transforms us first. We are not just a carrier with no soul. We are not just a messenger with no brain. We are not just a follower without no see. We have all these. God gave us the eyes to see and our mind to think and judge things. And also our spirit to lift when all the foundations around us is shaking. It seems even destroyed. And we can't even feel safe more. But we didn't need to be scared about being changed. And as I heard, after every strong tragedy happening in the whole world, we want to be the same. I want to disagree with this statement. We want to be resilient, but we want to be really think and see what God is telling us. How we can see even through an awful moment. While Isaiah lost his best friend, his close family member, whatever connection, but they have some close connection. there is a loss here. And when this happened, at the same time, it was an open window for him to come and feel humble. I didn't have anybody anymore to protect my back. To know, Isaiah, there is somebody who always can protect you. As I said, this is a very interesting message to remind us. Are we called? And if we are called, what kind of ministry we should, what kind of people we should be? He saw God in a very powerful moment, served by his angels, all this wonderful scene. Everybody cannot speak or understand what was really going on. But I think God was not interested to scare him, but to share with God, with him, what's really God's concern and what's God's passion. God had a discussion with Isaiah, is talking to him, saying, who should we send? Just listen to the soft and nice, this is not the language of a strong God who will say, go and do this. This is a God who will say, here is the problem. Can you tell me how we can solve it? Can you share with me how we can work together to go out to these people? You are my people. You are my people, regardless of how others review you. And had the discussion, who shall we send? And how we reach out to them. My last question I'd like to leave with you today. Why did God give Isaiah the choice to decide to go or not? God has the power to do everything. God has the power to order, to command, and we have to follow. But I think because God's mission is for everybody, and first for us as a carrier of this message. Because it's not about what we should say, but also about how we should be. We are called to be God's people at all time, even when the foundation of life, of things we grow up with, is changing, and we didn't know. We are called to be part of the creation and understand there is something we can do instead of pointing out a finger at somebody. That's what makes us unique, living in this country. And that's what makes us unique as a people of faith. And that's what makes us unique as standing together and say, this thing is very painful, and we admit that. We are not going to be controlled by what only happened, but we are going to be guided by the Spirit. We are called to help people so we can help ourselves first. We are called to put our trust in God, so even if things shaken, we're still in his hand. As a father shaking their child, maybe they are scared from how much they shake them. But in the end, they are saved. When they see the smile of their parents, they know they are saved. When they see the love and the energy in the room, they know they are okay. And we are called from time to time to grow in faith so we can understand what we are saying and what we are doing. Things bad happen in our life, but we are not going to be controlled by it because we are built our faith on the rock, on Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, this is the joyful feast of children. All who seek to earnestly follow Christ are invited to partake of this communion. People will come from east and west, and north and south. to sit at the table with the Lord our God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at the table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ as we join together here.
Please join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Holy God, we praise you for your Son Jesus, who shared our weakness and was tempted in every way as we are. He came to earth that we and all people might be saved and set free to live in your Spirit that day and for all time. Now give us your Spirit in the breaking of this bread and the sharing of this cup, so that by your power we may be drawn together and made one with Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Take these common elements that they might be set aside for your holy and Spirit-filled purpose in the coming to this table. In Christ and through Christ we pray. Amen.
Remembering the Lord Jesus, we break bread and share one cup, announcing his death for the sins of the world and telling his resurrection to all people and nations. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread and, after giving thanks to the Lord, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this remembering me."
Thank you.
take and eat, the bread of life is broken for you.
In the same way, after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the covenant, new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do so remembering me." Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and you will bear much fruit. Cut off from me, you can do nothing." Let us join together in the prayer of thanksgiving. Help us rise in your resurrection power from this table, where you, the ruler of the universe, have served us by your own hand, that we may extend your arms of peace to a world at war. This we ask through Christ, in Christ, with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. May all honor and glory and dominion be yours, now and forevermore. Amen.
As many who have been blessed, let us give back to our Lord so that we may do further work in his name. Lord Jesus, we have so much to thank you for. We have so many blessings, not only in this church, but in this country, Lord. Let us learn and know how to appreciate what you give to us. And help us, Lord, to follow your pathway. Lord, we dedicate these tokens of our appreciation, Lord, and we ask our church to use them to further your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The next hymn is up on the board, 2130.
Thank you.
go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them by the love I gave to you, and walk with them by the love I walk with you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I will be always with you to the end of all ages. Amen.
Thank you. Uh-huh.